Meeting of the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. If you are able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes.
I moved my pen there. Mine.
Oh, I got one too.
Okay. Commissioner Summers.
Present.
Commissioner Koblick.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Commissioner Poole.
Yes, I'm here.
Commissioner, I'm here. Commissioner Discharge, is that Chairperson Lundy?
Present.
Commissioner Pike?
Present.
Commissioner Stell?
Here.
Commissioner Terry?
Present.
Commissioner Lanta?
Here.
Oh man, we got a full house this time.
That's right. He's excited.
All right. Are there any additions or changes for the agenda? Okay. Any from the commission?
Not I know of.
Okay, hearing none, we will move on to the approval of the minutes from the October 22nd, 2024 regular meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Poole. I'm sorry, Summers and Poole. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstaining? At this time, we'll invite remarks from the public. We will invite remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda. So if you would like to make a comment to something that is unrelated to the agenda, please feel free to come forward and do so now. Hearing none, we will move on. We do not have any public hearings this evening, and we do not have any old business. So we'll move on to item 9A. Under new business, this is 24ZC5, Cricket's Corner Text Amendment to amend sections 4.11, 0.13, 0.4.1, and 11.3, and add section 11.3.1. The applicant is Cricket's Corner LLC. The agent is Heller, Heller, and McCoy. The date of receipt is October 25th. A decision is required 65 days from the close of the public hearing. Would anyone like to make a motion to set a public hearing for December 10th?
So move. I'll second that.
Okay, first and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Desjardins. Any discussion? Meredith, will we get a copy of the proposed revisions prior to the meeting?
It's all in the application. Yep.
Okay, perfect. Any other discussion?
Already online.
Okay. Yeah. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor to set a public hearing?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, a public hearing will be set for December 10th and will be noticed as such and as required.
Correct.
Yep. Item 9B under new business is 24 sub 4, which is 958 Route 163-046-008-000. The owner is TACT Holdings, LLC. The applicant is the Navar Company, Dean Fisk, for a proposed one-lot re-subdivision. This was submitted October 28th and received November 12th. And again, this requires a public hearing also to be set for December 10th. Would anyone like to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded by Commissioners Desjardins and Longton to set a public hearing for December 10th. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? The motion passes and a public hearing will be set for December 10th and noticed as required. Item 9C is 24 Site 9, 1758 and 1790 Route 32, 094-029-000 and 094-029-001. The owner is Vision Enterprises, care of Dr. V. Korick. The applicant is 1758 Route 32 LLC, care of Corey Grossman, for a five four-story multifamily buildings with associated parking and access drives. This was submitted October 29th and received November 12th, and a decision is required by January 16th. The applicant is here with us this evening to make a presentation. Meredith, before that occurs, is there anything you'd like us to know?
I believe everybody got my staff report and has read through it. I put in the staff report all the pertinent zoning regulations. If you like, I can go over them all, but I stated whether or not they met all of those, which they have. I stated the ones that they had given greater than what they were required to. I do have some staff technical review comments as part of my staff report. They did send late this afternoon new revised plans that I have not gone through to see if they've met my technical review comments. We are also waiting on agency comments from the town engineer, the fire marshal's department, the building department, WPCA, and the police department.
Right, and as such, because we are waiting on comments, we won't be making a decision on this evening, but as the applicant is here with us, we will allow them to do their presentation.
Correct. Did you want me to go through the staff report, or did everybody get a chance to read through it?
I believe, we should have read through it. Let's have the applicant do their presentation, and then we can follow up if additional information is needed.
Perfect.
Could you move that easel over to your right, please?
Sure.
That way, the commissioners, all of us can see it, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Removable.
Working?
Good.
All right. Well, thank you very much. My name is George Andrews. I'm a professional engineer, licensed environmental professional. I'm with Lorero Engineering Associates, and we have offices in Plainville, Connecticut, and Groton, Connecticut. And I am here tonight on behalf of 1758 Route 32 LLC. Lorero Engineering was retained essentially to provide the survey, civil engineering, and the site engineering for the project that I'll be explaining to you this evening. And my agenda is, I'll try to keep it brief. I know you have a big agenda coming in December, so I thought tonight would be a good night for me to sneak in and give you a quick purview of what our project is about. So my agenda includes review of the existing conditions at the site. I'll run through the proposed site improvements. I'll spend a little bit of time on the grading, drainage, and utilities plans, just so that you can understand how we're providing services to the site. I'll close with a bit of discussion on soil erosion and sed control, and then I'll just briefly hit on the comment response that we prepared and submitted today. So maybe I should grab this mic. The site's located at 1758-1790 Route 32. So we're just located just to the south of, to the north of St. Bernard's High School. So I'm presenting to you right now the existing conditions plan, and just to give you a feel for how the land lies, we've got essentially a high point in this area of the site, right in here, and we grade off in all directions, essentially.
The low point that we have is in the southeast corner down at this particular location. And of course, this is Route 32 right here. The land consists of two actual parcels, 1758 and 1790. Those will be combined. The total land mass that I have is 12.19 acres. And we have access. Right now, there is a dirt road access that comes up off of Route 32. And someone had requested that we stake the location of the drive, the proposed drive. That's been done and has been staked in the field. So any of you that are interested in getting a feel for where that is along 32, please take a drive by. Okay, the zoning for the site, it falls within the R20M residential multifamily zone, and it's also located within the OZ, that's a Route 32 overlay zone. So existing utilities are available within Route 32. I've got water, sewer, gas below grade. Power and communications would both be brought in from Route 32 as well. Those are overhead. We would drop those down on drop legs and then run them below grade within the parcel itself. There's no wetlands located within 100 feet of the subject parcel, and the site's located in a FEMA X zone, which is minimal flood hazard. So I'll move in now to the proposed improvements. So we have a zoning compliance table, which is included in sheet two, which is the note sheet of the drawing set that we provided to you. And that gives kind of an outline. I'll highlight some of those zoning compliance matters. So what we're providing is five four-story apartment buildings. The buildings themselves are about 16,000 square feet per building. As I say, there'll be four stories, and we're proposing a total of 200 residential units on the parcel. And collectively, we'll mass 320 bedrooms for the site, complete. Zoning compliance summary, I know you have a very detailed zoning compliance summary in the staff summary that was provided by Meredith. I thought I would just run over our compliance with some of those, which I thought were some of the more important aspects of compliance. Section 410, general requirements. Zoning regulation 410.5 requires submission of a soil erosion set control plan. We provided that to you. And I will get into a little bit more detail on soil erosion and set control later in my presentation. But just for your information, because the site is over 5 acres, we'll need to register under the general permit through the state of Connecticut for soil erosion set control. So we're just 12.9 acres, and as you'll see later, I break the site up into three separate phases. Section 4.11, permitted use regulations, zoning regulation 411.5.2, requires a buildings shall be so grouped that each facade shall face its full dimension upon a street unless the subject parcel or parcels included in the development are located within the R20M zone and or the Route 32 overlay zone. And of course, we were here last month talking about that. So the proposed layout certainly meets that requirement. Section 9B, this is within the R20M zone. The site is located within the R20M zone district in the Route 32 overlay zone. And per zoning regulation 9B2, multifamily dwellings are permitted use within that both zones. Zoning regulation 9B, 3A and B, 40 attached single family dwelling flats are allowed per building. And we're providing 40 dwellings per individual building. consequently five buildings with the 200 units. The minimum lot size allowed is 20,000 square feet. Provided the lot is served by public sewer, our lot is 530,937 square feet. Zoning regulation 9B6 establishes the following requirements. Maximum allowed dwelling unit density is 1 per 2420 square feet of land. Based on the total mass that we have, 530,000 square feet, in a total of 200 dwelling units, we're providing 2654 square feet per unit, so we're well above the minimum. Total minimum open space is 15%, and for the total that we have, we're providing 79,641 square feet. Setbacks, 50-foot setback from a public road, 15-foot side yard, 30-foot rear yard, 30-foot building separation. The setbacks are all met, and they're demonstrated on the plan that I have before you. Maximum building height is 60 feet. All residential buildings are 60 foot or less, and a community building is 30 feet, 6 inches. Zoning regulation 9B8, section 18 of the regulations. Site plan permit application includes a parking plan demonstrating a need for 400 parking spaces for the entire complex. The total number of parking spaces provided is 408, and 9 of those are accessible parking spaces. 9B9 and section 19 of the regulations for signs in a residential district located on a collector road are maximum allowed. Sign is 15 square feet. New sign proposed for the project shall be limited to 15 square feet, and that would be permitted under a separate permit application. 9B12 provides minimum requirements for landscape buffers and shade trees. We have a landscape plan, detailed landscape plan that's included that documents compliance with all of the requirements for landscaping. 9B13, sidewalk requirements for the site and access to the adjacent street. Sidewalks are provided throughout the site, and we have in this corner of the site, it's a challenging site as a result of grade. So the grade within the drive is 10%. Consequently, we'd be exceeding accessible requirements down to the street. So we provided a separate means of access, accessible sidewalk over in this area, which brings a walker or accessible individual right down to the street from the upper portions of the site. 9B14, requirements for lighting. We submitted a lighting and photometric plan this afternoon. So that has not been reviewed by staff, but we do meet your requirements. It's pretty limited, the requirements in this particular zone, so it certainly wasn't a stretch to meet, but we're keeping our concentrations just a tad below 2-foot candles pretty much throughout the site where we can. 9B15 requires that all new utilities be below grade. This requirement shall be met as demonstrated on the site utility plan. All right, I'm bringing you now to the grading plan. I mentioned that our low point was located down in this particular area. So consequently, our drainage throughout the site is collected in the upper portions, and we have a couple of drainage structures that I'll get into the details on the next sheet that I talk about. But we've essentially graded the site to drain all the way down to this point located right in this area. So we have some retention up in this portion of the site, and then we have the last bit of retention with the discharge down in this location. So the grades that we've maintained, as I mentioned, our maximum grade is 10% for the site. We maintain that throughout the primary access drive. And the steepest slopes that we provided on any of the landscaped areas are 1 vertical to 3 horizontal. The residential buildings are actually built into the slope, so we took the slopes and used them really to accentuate some of the buildings. And I'd like to just give you a viewing of the front of a typical building, one of our typical buildings. This is the rear, and you can see we've got the fully exposed rear lower portion, so their walkout access in the rear. And then with the side elevation, I'm able to show you the access to the lower portion as well as the access to the upper portions of the buildings. So as I say, they're actually built into the grade. The grade accentuates the architecture that we've selected for the site. Proposed utilities. I mentioned that we have utilities available within Route 32. We'll be bringing all of those utilities up through the roadway. So power, communications, sewer, water, and gas are all available, and all of those will be provided through that main access point, and then it'll be distributed throughout the top of the facility. Okay. Transitioning now to our drainage plan. So the soils on the site were somewhat mixed. We had some fantastic soils, Charlton Hollis soils, and we had some Narragansett and Rainbow, which are our drainage class C. So what we did is early on, before we got into the actual layout of the site, is we went out and did some investigations in some of the more suitable areas, the Charlton soils. We did some test pits, and we did some in situ as well as some laboratory infiltration testing, and found incredible soil conditions within those soil clusters. So when we transitioned from that investigation portion to the design, we were able to locate strategically all of our drainage within those Charlton deposits on the site. So we had very good depth to bedrock. We had permeabilities up in the 22 inch per hour range, which is incredible for the few pieces of land that are worthy left in Connecticut at this particular point. Our design, however, is based on 1/2 of that. So our design is based on 10.8 inches per hour, and that's in accordance with the DEEP stormwater requirements. So the way we designed the stormwater, I talked a little bit about the grading at the previous previous sheet, is we're actually using catchment throughout the site. We're discharging it into what's called a retainage system. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those. It's a subsurface concrete system. We prefer those because they are considerably hardier than some of the other units that we have used on some other sites. But Retain-It has a variety of different treatment systems that they build right into the system. So we specify what we're looking for treatment. We specify the flow that we're going to have and the pollutant load that we're going to expect from the parking areas. And Retain-It comes back with the design of the system for removal of those pollutants within each one of the drainage structures. So they're really very, very good to work with. And we're able to hold the full water quality volume for the site under the 2023 DEEP requirements. And we have this particular design has no connections to the state drainage system in Route 32. So it's completely divorced from drainage in Route 32. The stormwater system has been strategically designed to infiltrate, as I mentioned, as a result of some of the very suitable soil conditions, infiltrate a lot of the stormwater, and that afforded us the ability to meet reduction in both volume and in peak flow. And I have a table that is included, obviously, right here. It's also included in the drainage report that we prepared for you. I won't go through each one of the numbers, but if I look at the 100-year situation, which is right here, during a 100-year storm event, the existing conditions, and I have two different discharge points. I have one discharge point here, and I have another one that's naturally occurring over here. So under the 100-year storm event, existing conditions, 14.2 CFS and 27.96 CFS. That's existing. Proposed is 13.22 and 21.19. So across the board from the 2 all the way to the 100-year storm event, we've reduced peak discharge as well as total volume. So this has our landscape on it as well as our lighting. So the lighting is LED, it's full cutoff, shielded fixtures that are provided throughout the site, minimal trespass glare beyond the specific locations that are intended to be lit. And the lighting is really well distributed throughout the site, and I'm sure you'll be reviewing that plan and providing any comments that you may have on that. But we typically provide that with the landscaping simply because of the interference that trees and landscaping can play on the lighting system itself. So we typically provide both on the same plan. Soil erosion and sed control. This is very important. It's a steeply graded site, as you could see initially when I shared the existing conditions with you. As I mentioned, we're proposing to maintain 3-to-1 slopes throughout the site. We provided one soil erosion set control plan, which I have before you right here, but then we're breaking the site up into three separate phases, and each phase has its own sheet to document how the progression is going to run with the contractor. So let me transition to the first phase, and this is primarily the entry road, and it brings us up to building number one area. Now it's important to note that we're going to use the building one area once the first phase of the project is complete, and it's shown within these dark dashed lines. Once this area is developed, that's going to be part of the, it's going to be temporarily stabilized with crushed stone, and that area will be a work area, a laydown area for the rest of the job site. So when I say phase one, I'm not suggesting that we're going to build this and complete it and put the buildings in. We'll be using that as laydown. We'll transition into phase two and then finally into phase three. So the first phase has two anti-tracking pads. Initially, we'd be coming in this particular location off of Route 32, and we would have this primary access, and that would be constructed initially. Once this is stabilized, we come back down and we transition that traffic intersection to right here, a straight run out. The reason that we're doing that is we have a sediment basin located right there. As I mentioned, that's the lowest part of our site, so that's the most advantageous spot that I can have for a sed basin. So a temporary sed basin will be located there, get the stabilization done, come back, remove the temporary access, and create the final access. We'll have drainage structures in at that particular point. We have silt fence located throughout the site. One thing that we did on some of the steeper slopes, and this was at the recommendation at a pre-application meeting that we had with staff, one of your outside consultants gave some recommendations with regard to how to handle some of the 3-to-1 slopes. So we did indeed incorporate that. So we have intermittent mulch socks located every 20 feet on those slopes, on those steep slopes. So every 20 feet, we have a mulch sock, a 12-inch mulch sock that's staked in place and basically runs parallel with the contours. And obviously that's to intercept any sediment that may be laden in the stormwater that runs off. Catch basin inlet protection is provided throughout all of the catch basins. And interim stabilization, as I mentioned, up in this area will be accomplished with crushed stone. At that point, we would transition into phase number two, which is centrally located. And we provided a layout for a crushing operation. We do expect to run into bedrock in a couple of areas up here, and we anticipate utilizing that bedrock on the site itself. So that material would be extracted. Hopefully it's excavatable. But regardless, that material would be extracted, it would be crushed, and then it would be used on the site. And the intent of doing that is to mitigate traffic that would be generated as a result of hauling it off-site and then hauling in fill to build all the roads and such. So that material will be crushed to spec and utilized underneath the roads and such throughout the building site. The soil erosion and set controls are very similar to what I mentioned in phase one throughout phase two. Phase three is just the last spot, the last portion. It's one building, three good-sized parking spaces, and our access, our accessible sidewalk that brings us down to Route 32. Okay. Well, I believe I have covered everything that I had on my agenda, except I just wanted to note in closing remarks, we did get some comments from staff based upon the submission, and I just want to run over those very, very quickly. They're very brief. There's only four. Please provide a lighting plan. We provided that, as I mentioned earlier. Please provide a 8.5 by 11 photocopy of USGS quad map. We've provided that as well. And please include the name of the property owner on the cover sheet. We've modified the plan set with minor modifications, and we've picked that up. And last but not least, please revise site note 7. A separate zoning permit will be required prior to installation. That relates to the sign, and we have made that modification to the note sheet. So with that said, I conclude my presentation. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have on the project.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Andrews. Are there any questions? Commissioner Summers?
You mentioned this retainment system. What's involved with the maintenance?
The retainment system, the beauty of the retainment system is that the contaminants are removed within the first portion of a row. So there is maintenance required, definitely. Sediment has to be removed from that. And so let's say we have four rows wide and 30 feet deep. And my discharge comes in on a corner of that. So the first three cells would be dedicated to treatment of that stormwater before it infiltrates in the rest of the retainment system. Those first three cells are blocked off, and they have filter fabrics, they have sands, et cetera, that are all part of that treatment train. And occasionally, and you actually measure, there is a operation and maintenance program that retainment has for their systems. And you actually measure the amount of silt that builds up within the structure. You remove that with a vac truck, and then that rejuvenates the system, brings the system back to its original operating conditions. Definitely takes maintenance, mm-hmm. And in many of these units that we have, so they're large rectangular units, we may have discharges coming into all four corners and in some cases into the middle. So we're able to pick the cells that we need, and we've identified all of those with manholes on our drawing plan, on our drainage plan. So it provides access to each one of those cells that needs to be maintained.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Andrews? Commissioner Longton?
Just a couple of questions. How many units total?
200 units.
Okay. And you said that the storm drainage is totally divorced from Route 32.
Correct.
So it will not go into the storm drains that the WPCA needs to work with.
I don't know that your WPCA is in, but the Department of Transportation. So we wouldn't be connecting to the Department of Transportation stormwater management system.
Okay. And how often do you anticipate having to clean the retainment system?
I would say annually. And it may be a function. What we're finding as of late is we used to recommend annual on all of our housing developments, businesses, et cetera. And since everyone has divorced themselves from using sand, we're finding in certain circumstances we can get 2 years out of that between necessary cleaning. So we are finding, we still recommend annually, but we are finding that that can certainly be stretched at least until 2 years. And as I say, I attribute it to the reduction in the use of sand on most of the facilities.
Yes, how many units are going to probably be affordable if they are going to be designated as affordable?
80%.
It will all be market.
Okay, there will be all that market.
Yeah.
Another thing is this project came in front of us about 10 years, give or take. And it's located right above Fort Hill, and it was a big thing about Uncas Fort being right on that area. Did they do anything about an archaeological survey?
So I'll address that. I'm Corey Grossman, so I am Dr. Kirk's partner.
Hi, I'm Corey Grossman. I'm Dr. Kirk's partner. I'm a developer, been in real estate for 25 years. So to answer your question, address your question, so yes, there was archaeological studies done, I believe, if my memory serves right, back in 2012. Mm-hmm. There was a few reasons for that. Well, the biggest reason was that was a 221D application. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if you're familiar with that application, which it seems like you are, then it's required to be done. Mm-hmm. So we did do that survey. On that, there was actually no fort to be found. It was actually just rock remnants. Mm-hmm. So. But to answer your question directly, it was done previously, again, because of the 221D application, but that's the extent of it.
Okay. Yeah, because I want to make sure nothing going to bite us or you in the butt afterwards, you know?
No.
The site because being part of the Mohegan property, you know, at one time.
Right. Well, thank you for the question. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. While I'm up here, anybody else have any other questions related to maybe specific construction or technical, not steal your thunder, George. But. Yes, sir. Mr. Kogula.
Yes, the slope looks like it's a pretty good size slope there for coming down towards the entrance road. What do you plan on stabilizing that with? Is it going to be grass or is it going to be riprap?
Yeah, that will be stabilized with grass for sure. Yeah, it is. It's a 3-to-1 slope, which is probably the maximum that you allow in town. I'm assuming most municipalities have that as a max slope. So it is maxed out for sure. That'll be stabilized. We found a partner that we use, LSC is the name of the company, and they provide a variety of different mulch additives. And the primary one that I would recommend on this would be a tackifier. Mm-hmm. So we would actually use a tackifier along with mulch and the seed and a selection of seed. Obviously, we'd throw a little annual rye in there to get a burst right away. But that's how we typically end up dealing with the 3-to-1 slopes, is to hit it with a really good hydro seed application with mulch and tackifier to actually retain and hold the soil and the seed down.
It'll be mowable?
Yes. Okay. Yep. Yeah, the 3-to-1 is right on the edge.
Yep.
Commissioner Poole.
Where are you going to put all the snow?
We've chatted about that. We've got a couple of spots toward the back of the parcel in this area that we're going to be able to use for snow deposit. We have another area. It's a smaller parking lot located right here. And that was another area that we felt we may be able to use for snow removal, depending on how many motor vehicles there are parking throughout the other parking lots. As a last alternative, that material would actually have to be hauled off-site.
Commissioner Lonton? Yes, just one other question. There's only one vehicular access to this entire site?
Correct.
A lot of cars.
That always concerns me when you're dealing with that many people because of the unfortunate need on a rare occasion for emergency vehicles. And I wonder what would happen if that access was blocked in some way.
Yeah.
It's just a concern of mine.
I appreciate that, yeah. The site itself doesn't lend to a second point of access. So it's certainly a barrier to a second access point.
The fire marshal's department's also still under review as to truck turning radius and all of their access for their fire apparatus. So hopefully they'll have that to us soon so that you can review it.
Hopefully we never need them.
Hopefully.
Final call for questions for Commissioner Andrews or Mr. Grossman. Not Commissioner.
Well,
Mr. Andrews or Mr. Grossman. Commissioner DeSharp.
We're talking about like traffic, all that. I know it probably would be with the state, you know, traffic lights or anything like that. Did they get that addressed at all?
I'm sorry, traffic lights?
Yes.
I didn't bring my traffic consultant with me tonight. He had a conflict. And rather than have him rushing in for 7 o'clock, I said, why don't we have, I'll put you on at the next meeting. Mm. So okay. If you could possibly wait until the next meeting, I'd prefer to have Kermit speak of that because that's his expertise.
Yeah, okay, no problem with that.
All right.
I just got one more question with regards to the drainage. So this system was designed for a 100-year storm.
Correct.
You know, we've had a lot of storms, and where this is discharging, it'll discharge into the adjacent pond, which is basically a beaver dam. It won't take much to overflow that and have that dam collapse and create a lot of problems down the road. Has that been looked at?
Yeah, that's actually one of the beauties of the system that we installed with the infiltration, where we're actually retaining that water quality volume on site. And we're resulting in a decrease in the discharge to that receiving water body. So we won't be increasing the discharge to that at all, or the peak. So the total volume and peak discharge have actually been reduced as a result of this project. So it offers a little bit of relief to that receiving facility.
There's also a proposal to remove that dam.
We talked about that little plant right, but that's almost across from St. Bernard's.
Yes.
Got a couple of questions. Yeah, between that one that right south of we call it the Mohegan, the LE complex.
Correct.
Okay.
Commissioner Pike.
So you mentioned earlier a number 2654 square feet. What was that relevant to? That number just struck me because that's like a four-bedroom house.
Yeah, that I believe was on one of my zoning compliance components. 2654, yeah. So the maximum allowed dwelling unit density in your regulations is one unit per 2420 square feet
right.
of land. And based on the total lot area that we have, 530,000 plus square feet and 200 total dwelling units, we're at 2654 square feet
mm-hmm.
per, you know, based upon square feet of land.
Right.
So we're
total
well
in square feet of land.
Yeah. Right. So we're well in excess of what your minimum requirement is.
Okay. Sidewalks. Explain that to me. There's no sidewalks on 32.
Yeah. We are...
that is a fast road.
It is, indeed. And we are typically compelled to provide access to, when we have a development like this, to the roadway. And it has to be accessible. So we are essentially bound to provide some means of access down to the roadway that's accessible, such that if a van stops and drops someone, they're able to get all the way up to the facility. And it's just something that I agree with you 100%. I certainly wouldn't want to walk there either. And I'm sure Corey doesn't want to pay for the cost of all that sidewalk either, but something that we're bound with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in the first phase, why wouldn't you just put down a base coat of asphalt instead of leaving it gravel?
Oh, we'll definitely pave that portion. Yeah, we'll lay some binder.
Okay, I misunderstood down you then. Okay.
Yep, the crust stone will just be up at the top for
the
a
very
working
top
surface. Exactly. Yep, I'm sorry. I should have explained
no, it's
that
okay
better.
That's all I have. Thank you. Thank you.
Certainly.
Commissioner Estelle, Commissioner Terry, do you have anything?
Nothing. I just had one quick question. I think I see it's not curb cuts necessarily, but maybe a turning lane into the site from coming down the hill. Is that correct? Is there kind of a lane that you're able to pull off as you're turning in?
Coming southbound.
Coming southbound, correct.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I assume that's DOT approved. That's a state road, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
So just curious about that.
Yeah, my apologies. In my site visits,
I didn't even notice. I noticed that there was a 2-into-1 a little bit further to the south, but it was considerably further to the south than where our proposed access is.
Yeah, because coming down that hill, it's one lane coming down, and if you don't provide a car width over, it's just gonna back things up. So I was curious. It looks like that's contemplated on there, but
yeah,
you're saying it's not?
No. We aren't proposing any off-site improvements to Route 32.
Okay.
Based upon the analysis that our traffic engineer did, he made the determination that 32 is adequate for the development, and he'll present that to you at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you.
So with that, as Meredith mentioned, there are still a number of comments outstanding, so we will not be voting on this application this evening. The applicant will be returning next month, as mentioned previously. So we will continue this item until the December meeting. Item 9D under new business is 24 Site 10. 2268, 2280, and 2284 Route 32, 106-034-000, 106-036-000, 106-035-000. The owner is Samuels Motville, LLC, and the applicant is Honeycomb Real Estate Partners, LLC, attention Lewis Brown, and this is for a 57-unit mixed-income multifamily dwelling. This was submitted October 30th, received November 12th, and a decision is required by January 16th. Meredith, what should we know about this application?
This application is currently before the Inland Wetlands Commission. They will be holding a public hearing on it on November 21st. So we cannot make a decision on it until they make their decision. The applicant had another engagement tonight, so they are not here to present. So I will hold off on my staff report until they're here. I did send it off to the commission to read through, but we should table this until our December 10th meeting.
Okay. So I'm going to suggest that we continue this until the next meeting.
Why don't we postpone it instead of table it?
Right. Continue it.
Yeah.
All right, item 9E is an adoption of the 2025 meeting schedule, which is in your folder. There is an item highlighted. Our November meeting is scheduled for Veterans Day, November 11th, 2025. There are other options. The first is November 4th, which would be about a week after the October meeting, or November 18th, which is three weeks before the December meeting.
18 sounds good.
Those are both Tuesdays?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. I would say
for the 18th.
I'd say the 18th.
Yeah. 18th. Yeah.
Would anyone like to make a motion to accept the meeting dates with the amendment that the November meeting will be on November 18th?
So moved.
Second.
First and seconded by Commissioner Summers and Longton. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, meeting dates have passed with the 18th of November being the new date.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move on to the election of officers. I think everybody is up, right?
Yep. So if you want to, if there's a motion to keep it as is, we can just do it as one motion.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to change any, all, they would be separate motions.
Begins with a motion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Begins with a motion.
Yep.
I make a motion that we reelect the current slate of officers.
Second.
Okay. First and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Poole. Any discussion?
Are the officers willing?
Oh, sure. What the heck?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for asking. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, motion passes. Thank you. Next, we will move on to the zoning enforcement officer's report.
Thank you. Zoning and Wetlands Officer Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record. This report is for the period of October 22nd, 2024 to November 11th, 2024. Total inquiries were 94. Total open zoning permits at the beginning of this reporting period were 354.
Yeah.
Total number of certificates of zoning compliance were issued 13.
At this point, it's moot.
Four field inspections were completed. There were 22 new zoning permits issued, leaving a total number of zoning permits that are currently open of 363. There was one new zoning complaint, 11 enforcement actions are ongoing. We have closed out four zoning complaints. There are no new wetlands complaints. Two wetlands complaints are ongoing. One wetlands complaint has been closed. There was one inland wetland application which was tabled. And one ZBA application which was approved.
Point of order. Why?
Any questions for Stacy?
So out of all those permits, how many are close to expiring? Any? That's a lot of open permits.
Quite a few of them are close to expiring, yes.
How do we address that? How does the town address that when someone's permit is close to expiring?
If a zoning permit is open and they are currently working on it, continuously working on it, it stays open. But Stacy would do an inspection, take her pictures, and note on there what date she was out, yep, and that they are continuing to work on it.
What about a permit that's been issued but they haven't done anything?
Then she would contact them and see if they wanted to renew it. And there's a fee for that.
What is that? I'm curious what that fee is.
$25.
Just to renew?
Mm-hmm. If it's commercial, it's $50, but residential
is
$25.
And what's the time frame of that?
1 year.
1 year. Yep. Thank you.
Unless it's something that you approved on a site plan approval, and then they get a 5-year, their zoning permit.
Same price, $25.
It's included in their application fee to come before you.
Got it. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I ask a question about item D? I know we're going back. I didn't notice that we made a motion to postpone. Do we need to make a motion to postpone to a certain date? Second it and all in favor or no?
No, if we were going to table it, we would. But we're just going to continue this item.
You don't need to make a motion to postpone? I mean, what would be in the minutes?
Yeah.
Typically, you do. You make a motion to postpone to December 10th, December 2024. Somebody seconds it, and then it shows up on their agenda, right? Should we, can we, it's just a point of order.
Sure.
When we do the minutes, we're not going to really know what we did if we don't.
Absolutely.
I'll make a motion to postpone it to whatever.
December 10th, 2023.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Can I just ask one more question?
Yeah.
Because I'm new.
Yeah.
Sorry. In the beginning of the meeting, it said to the public, questions, do you have any questions not on the agenda?
That is because if someone were to come forward and make a comment about an item that's on the agenda, it would be considered a public hearing, and you have to give prior notice in the newspaper.
I see. So nobody can speak on anything under new business.
Correct.
Okay.
We can.
But they can.
The public cannot.
Okay. Thank you.
Correct.
But can they talk about old business?
No, they cannot speak to items related to things that are on the agenda. So we made a motion to postpone item 90. We should do the same for 9C. We did not do a vote on that.
Make a motion that we tabled 9B.
Postpone.
Postpone, table, whatever.
Okay.
And I'll second that.
Any discussion?
C.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you. And thank you for bringing that forward, Commissioner Terry. We do not have a land use director report this evening. Meredith, is there anything that you'd like to share with us?
I do not have anything this evening. Thank you.
Okay. I'll do a call for any other business. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to correspondence. We received a Connecticut General Statute Section 8-7DH referral dated November 1st regarding the Town of Preston Zoning Plan of Conservation and Development. They are having a public hearing regarding the Plan of Conservation and Development on December 10th at 6 p.m. There's no action required from us this evening. It's just a notice. There's no need for an executive session this evening, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 The meeting is adjourned.
Wow. Before 7.
Yeah.
Tell me about Pink Row. When are we going to rent?